Once upon a time there was a king. And this king, he was very, very greedy, and he kept all his treasure hoarded up in his great vaults. And he was very jealous, too, because he knew that there was a queen who lived in the high mountains, and she had treasure even greater than his. He'd heard of it because of all the stories he heard people telling as they'd come down from the mountains and say what great treasure she had. And these stories, they turned and they twisted inside the king's mind, and he started to think of all the treasure she had. She must have, like, rubies, or diamonds, or huge pearls, or great stacks of gold, whatever it was that she had up in her palace. The more he thought of it, the more jealous the king became. Until one time he was so jealous he couldn't bear it anymore. So he sent several of his soldiers up the mountain, not to make war on the queen, but rather trick her. And he said to those soldiers, "I want you to go to the palace of the queen of the high mountains. And there I want you to disguise yourself as servants. And once you're disguised as servants, I want you to find out where the treasure is, and then I want you to steal it." So that's what they did, these servants of the king. They went and they disguised themselves as, like, regular people, you know, like peasants and beggars and farmers. And they went in a great little crowd up the mountain. They went in a crowd up the mountain, and they came eventually to the realm of the queen of the high mountains. And before long, after trudging through many, many high plateaus and past many craggy peaks, they came at last to the queen of the high mountains' palace. And there they presented themselves at the gates and asked for work. And the guard who's standing there, he looks at them and he sizes them up and he says, "Well, what kind of work can you ragamuffins do?" And one, he pipes up and he says, "I can cook very well." And another pipes up and he says, "Well, I can clean very well." And so on, and they each declare something they're good at. And in the end, the guard says, "All right, well, you can come in, but I'll be watching you for the first few weeks and make sure you do a good job of things." Well, they do their very best because these are highly trained soldiers. You see, they're good at just about everything. And after a few weeks, why, they've convinced the guard that they're good for keeping on and they needn't be shown the door again. And after many more weeks, why, they've become part of the household of that palace. Part of the household, indeed, trusted by everybody. But every night, this little band of imposters, this little band of spies, this little band of criminals and stealers of treasure, they all get together in secret in one of their bedrooms and they say, "Has any one of us yet found out where the queen keeps her treasure?" And each man would stare around blankly, glumly, at the blank and glum faces of all the others and see that no one had yet found out where the treasure was to be found. After a few more weeks, why, they were getting a little bit desperate. "Perhaps," says one, "we should start asking, you know, leading questions like, 'Oh, I heard the queen keeps her treasure in a da 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 da,' and then see if anyone corrects us." Something like that. Perhaps we'll draw the truth out in that way. So that's what they decided to do. They all decided to, you know, ask kind of questions, sort of leading questions, like finding out kind of questions. Like, where does the queen keep her treasure? Where can it be found? And one time one of them was standing with one of the cooks, a cook who was a very kind of talkative kind of cook. She was very happy to share herself and her words with anyone who cared to ask. And one of our people from the king's palace, one of our friends, he was standing there and he was saying, "Oh, well, I heard the queen has a great treasure. She has indeed a marvellous treasure, unlike any other treasure in any other land." And the cook, whose cheeks are bright rosy red because she likes talking so much and she likes cooking rather a lot and eating her cooking too, and she's standing there and she's listening and she's nodding her head and she says, "Oh, yes, indeed she does. She has the finest treasure in all the world. But you know what she does with it? And our friend, he can hardly believe his luck. He's just standing there, nodding his head and looking, doing his best to look innocent and all. He says, no, I've no idea. I've no idea what she does with it. Well, I'll tell you, says the cook, all bright, ruddy-faced. I'll tell you, she says. She gives it away. Gives it away. Gives it away, says our friend. What do you mean, gives it away? She gives it away, and I'll tell you how. But just then there's all kinds of a commotion in the kitchen because, well, the princess, who's very particular about her puddings, has just ordered three of them all at once. Perhaps she has some friends to play, and the cook is suddenly whisked away and has to start whisking stuff really quickly. And our friend's just standing there and feeling frustrated, but at the same time excited to share with his friends that evening what he's found out. So, they say, so she gives it away? Well, then the next obvious question is when and where does she give it away? Because we need to be there to receive it when she does so. So the next assignment is for them all to go off and try and find out about this. And so they're asking all around the palace, and where is it the queen gives away her treasure? We've heard it's a very fine treasure she has and that she gives it away. And where might that be happening? Could you tell us? And before long, same guy is in the kitchen and he's talking to that rather talkative cook. And she's only too happy, to share. She says, well, the way the queen gives away her treasure is she holds these grand banquets. I should know, I'm doing all the cooking for it. Keeps me busy for days in advance. A grand banquet, says our friend. Yes, yes, says the cook. And people, they come and they dance and they sing and the queen gives away her treasure at the end and it's marvellous. And you know how she does it? And just then, there's a great commotion because the prince who rather likes cheese sticks, he likes his cheese sticks freshly baked out of the oven. He wants a whole load of them. Must have some friends round to play. And suddenly the cook is, oh, hurried away and scurried away. And she has to start making her cheese sticks as quick as she can. And our friend is left hanging, but nonetheless excited. It's a banquet, he says, a great banquet. And everybody dances. And that's where she gives away the treasure. A banquet, says all his friends. Well, I guess we just have to make sure we're there. And so that's exactly what they do. They all rearrange their schedules so they're absolutely guaranteed to be there. And on the night, why, people have come from all over the kingdom. People have come from all over the kingdom, and even a few from neighbouring kingdoms, those ones who've been before and know the whole score, well, they come too, and everybody, why, they're dancing, and they're eating the cook's food, and it's very, very nice, and they're all happy about that, but they're all looking forward to the end of the evening, and so are our friends, indeed, very curious they are about the end of the evening. And by the time everyone gathers together, why, by the time everybody gathers together at the end of the evening, what does the queen do? Our friends are all waiting for this. Why, she tells them stories. Tells them stories all night long. And our friends, the impostors who were sitting there, pretending to be just regular servants, eager to catch the treasure as it falls from her hands, as she passes it around the crowd, they sit and they listen with ever-increasing anxiety, trying to work out where is the treasure and where's it coming from and at what point is she going to pass it round on a silver tray? But that moment never comes. And after a long time of just telling some stories, the queen leaves and everyone turns to their neighbour and smiles and says how lovely that was and how rich they now feel and what a great treasure they feel they've been given. And our friends, they just sit there and stare at one another blankly and rather glumly. And as all the crowd filters away, why, they filter away too, and they go straight to their hiding place and they say, what was that? She just told a bunch of stories. There was no treasure. Yes, but there must have been some treasure because everyone was so happy at the end. No one was looking disappointed except us. Maybe she was passing out the treasure secretly? Maybe there's a sort of back way that they pass around the treasure that newcomers like us don't get to receive it. Maybe secretly she was passing it and slipping it into people's pockets. Well, they did a great deal of this kind of speculating and questioning, but nothing that was really very conclusive, and they didn't come up with many answers. And so they simply decided to go to the next banquet, because there wasn't a long while to wait. There was one in a couple of weeks. And they went along, and they sat, and they listened as the queen told stories again. And they watched this time with eagle eyes, watched her hands, watched her fingers, waiting for the moment when they might see her, put them into her pockets and pull out a handful of gold coins and slip them into the pockets of the people listening. But no, that never happened. The queen never did any such thing. All she did all that evening was tell story after story after story. And our friends at the end were none the wiser. Well, this goes on for weeks. It goes on for months. One banquet after another, story after story, until a whole year has gone past, until several years have gone past. And it's after quite a few of these that our friends slowly start to realise just what's happening. Because the treasure, you see, the treasure that the queen is passing around so freely, it's wisdom. It's the wisdom born of her many, many years of living, and living wisely. Living with a good question in her mind as to how can we be happy and how can I make my subjects happy. And this wisdom, it's now ripe inside of her, like fruit on a tree it is, and as she tells her stories, why, it's like the tree shaking its branches and dropping the fruit upon all who would listen. And our friends, they're no longer deaf to this, you see. They've figured out where the treasure really is, and they've learned how to catch the fruit of her wisdom as it falls from the branches, how to keep it safe, how to eat it, how to digest it. And they too, over the years, have grown wise. Well, after many years of this, when they feel they have indeed received the Queen's treasure, they all get together one evening and they say, you know, we really should be getting back to our King. He's surely forgotten about us by now, but we ought to do our duty and return. He wanted the treasure, and our job was to come and find it, which we have. And then one pipes up, speaking with a voice that could have been any of them. Yes, but he wants gold and silver and jewels and great big rubies and diamonds, and he'll just be disappointed when he hears a story, just like we were. And then another replies, then we'll just have to go and tell him stories till he gets it. Well, they debated and they talked about this a great deal. But after a long discussion, it was clear that there was nothing else to do. They had to return. So return they did. And all the way back on that long journey, why, they told the stories, the best stories that they'd heard the Queen tell. All the way back on that long journey, they told the best stories that they'd heard. Till by the time they get to the King's palace, they've got the very best distilled inside of them. They've got the very best of those stories ready to tell the King. And when they return, why, everyone's celebrating and fanfaring about them and telling stories to one another about they've come back down from the mountain and they've brought these great jewels with them. Until by the time there's a grand banquet that evening at the King's pleasure and everyone is jam-packed inside the banquet hall, our friends, feeling a little bit nervous, it has to be said, they get up and they tell the King stories. And they tell the loveliest and the wisest stories that they heard in all the time that they lived with the King, with the Queen. They tell the wisest and the loveliest stories. And their King, he listens. And soon he starts to weep. He starts to weep with happiness and joy at hearing such lovely stories. By the end of the evening, why, it's settled. He knows and understands the treasure that they've brought back with them. And he is so happy with them that he sends them all back to their rooms with their pockets filled with gold. And our friends, they sit in their rooms and they just play Twinkies with the gold. They just play little games with the gold pieces and tell each other stories. And by the end of it, why, it's the stories they're laughing and slapping each other on the back about. It's the stories that are mostly their concern. Why, the gold pieces, they're just games for tiddlywinks, just pieces and things to play with as they tell each other stories.